Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Football sucks. Let's just watch baseball for the next month.
Thank God for the Mets.
Amen. How are we all doing today? Evan and Tiki here on The Fan here on a Tuesday. We got a lot to get to, including we will talk to my man, my old partner, a guy Tiki's known for a million years, the great Joe Beningo. His weekly spot, 4 o'clock. Why? Because we got to talk about the Jets. We'll also get into every aspect of last night's game and continue to clean up the wreckage from the Giants' Week 1 disaster against the Minnesota Vikings. But here's how I feel. All right, and I understand that as a sports fan, I'm sort of broken. I'm sort of screwed up. I am not worried about the Jets' season. I am not overreacting to Week 1. I'm not going to be your typical New York cliche to freak out over one game. I'm not saying that. I'm not doing that. But I'm pissed. And that's okay. And to my fellow Jet fan, it's okay to spend 3 hours on a Monday night watching what you thought was the strength of your team, your defense, absolutely stink for 3 hours. And it's okay after the game to be mad. It's okay to complain that Ashton Davis still sucks. It's okay to be upset that you watched the defense allow points on eight consecutive possessions, which never happens in the history of football. It's okay to be annoyed that Sauce Gardner mysteriously wasn't on the field for 9 plays. It's okay to look at your defensive line and see guys like Braden McGregor and Tack McKinley and Javon Kinlaw, who stunk last night, and Jalen Holmes, and say, geez, where's all the talent on the defensive line? It's okay to be mad about that. It's okay to be mad and disappointed that we barely saw Aaron Rodgers play football last night because this defense couldn't get off the field. It's okay to be mad that Jordan Mason, who no one had heard of until last night.
I did.
Except for Tiki, because he's on his fantasy team. It's okay to be mad that he gashed the Jet run defense. It's okay to feel that way. So I want to make this absolutely clear. I'm not worried that this season is going to end 4-13. I'm not worried that it's the same old Jets. But I was pissed last night, and I'm still pissed today. Why? Because there's only 17 of this.
Yep.
Why? Because I'm delusional to think maybe this team can compete with the San Francisco 49ers. Why? Because we waited a year and a half to watch Aaron Rodgers, and it's not his fault. I thought Aaron was great yesterday and fine and certainly one of the big positives. He was barely on the field because of this garbage performance by the defense, which is basically Robert Saleh's one functioning job to make sure this defense kicks ass, and it didn't. So, I know you can't tell because I'm a little emotional and I'm raising my voice, and I apologize. Tiki, I promise you, I am not worried, I am not panicked, but I'm a normal human who's annoyed that was the crap we watched for 3 hours last night.
Do you feel like you've been sold a false bill of goods? Is that what this feels like to you? Or is it just, man, this is like the preseason game. None of these guys played in the preseason. I know I said the same thing about the Giants yesterday, but it kind of felt like the same thing that the Giants went through. The execution, at least defensively, for the New York Jets, it was kind of all around for the New York Giants. Defensively for the Jets, they got pushed around.
Yes.
They were out-schemed.
Yes.
And out-physicaled, right? When you think about like what makes football teams successful, it's those three things.
Mm-hmm.
And the 49ers did it. Now, that being said, the 49ers are a good, well-coached team. They are one of the best.
That last part is very important. They're a well-coached
yes.
team. I don't know that yet about the New York Jets.
Well, of course not. Of course not. That all has to be proven. But I'm making a point about the 49ers.
Sure.
The 49ers represented the NFC in the Super Bowl a year ago. They have been consistently good under Kyle Shanahan ever since he became their head coach. He schemes the hell out of success on the offensive side of the ball, and defensively, their new defensive coordinator kind of did the same thing. right? He was frustrating in so many ways for this Jet offense. Not that they played a lot. You mentioned 21 and a two-thirds minutes they played. 21 minutes, 20 seconds. That was all, or actually one-third a minute. They couldn't stay on the field. Now, part of that was because the run game never got going. Part of it was because Aaron Rodgers had some drops go his way. But the biggest reason is because the defense just couldn't get off the field. The 49ers ran the ball 38 times. Mm. The Jets had 48 plays.
That's all you need to know.
I don't care what else stat, anything else, that tells you who won the game. That tells you that it was a blowout in some capacity. And so you're right not to be worried, because it felt to me like this Jet defense was just getting their feet under them. Because they didn't play up to the standard that all of those guys can play to.
So you are right that when you look at week one, you can look around the league, and a lot of teams basically played week one as if it looked as if it was a preseason game.
The Cincinnati Bengals lost to the Patriots.
I get that.
At home.
And you're right that a part of that is because guys and players aren't playing a lot in the preseason. And I understand that. But here's my counter to that. This head coach told us, told me, not personally, but all of us, how hard he worked his guys this preseason as compared to last year. That's what he said. Now, I'm not at every practice. We were there one day. I'm not there all the time. But that's what the head coach told us. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers had a left tackle who didn't show up until days ago.
Yes, but he is an all-pro and first ballot Hall of Famer and maybe the greatest left tackle that we've seen in this generation.
I get that. But the Jets told us, hey, we were busting it more so than we were last year. We were working hard during the preseason. This defense didn't play that way.
No.
This defense was the reason why I delusionally sat here 1 year ago, even after the Rodgers injury, and thought they could be a playoff team. And they played well enough to be a playoff team. This was an elite-level defense for most of last year. We didn't see that last night.
No.
And am I concerned against Tennessee next week? You know what? We'll get there. I'm not even thinking about Tennessee. Am I concerned about New England in week three? We'll get there. I'm not there yet. But last night was a test. Last night was a test against, by the way, a San Francisco team. Like you said, Trent Williams is amazing. Trent Williams didn't show up until 5 days ago at left tackle.
But he's still great.
He's great. A San Francisco team that, to the surprise of everyone not named Tiki Barber, didn't play Christian McCaffrey last night.
Mm-hmm.
To a San Francisco team, and you saw it when Brandon Ayuk dropped a touchdown. I know he was diving, but the ball was in his hands, and a 100% Brandon Ayuk puts that crap in his back pocket, and it's a touchdown. And so you were facing a San Francisco offense that was not at their best. And yet the Jets put together one of the worst performances we've seen from this unit in a couple of years. And yes, it was disgusting. And yes, I was mad about it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to come in today and say, well, we got 16 more weeks.
Yeah.
Everything's great. Like, yeah, everything may be great. I know it's a long season. I know it's only week one. But the beauty of football, and I do think it's the beauty of it, is that there's only 17 games. They're like events.
Yeah.
They're like holidays. And last night was Christmas, and it got ruined. It was a disaster. It started off nicely, even after Alan Lazard can't hold on to a first down, even after Breece Hall put the ball on the ground. And it started off beautifully because Aaron Rodgers put together one of those drives that you fantasize about.
I almost texted you guys, and I'm glad I didn't because of the way the game turned out. I almost texted you saying, okay, Aaron Rodgers is as good as advertised. Because he looked it.
Well,
he looked in control. He looked in command of what the defense was trying to do. And he knew how to get his guys in the right positions to make plays. I'm going to throw this to you, right? Just win. Mm-hmm. And he did it on that one drive.
But even on the first two drives, think about it. On the first drive, his first pass this season as a New York Jet was a first down beauty to Alan Lazard. He dropped it.
Yep.
Okay. I think most Jet fans wanted to cut Alan Lazard in the middle of that game, especially after last year. So not on Aaron Rodgers. In the second drive of this game, he throws that little shovel pass to your favorite Jet, my favorite Jet. I still love him despite his shaky night last night in Breece Hall. And then Fred Warner makes that great play as he kind of punches the football loose. So the first two drives ended, and Aaron Rodgers didn't do anything wrong. And then the third drive you talked about was that euphoric. like almost just sensual drive that he put together that I tweeted about, that we all commented on, oh my God, this is a functional offense. The problem was the defense was so awful after that. Mm-hmm. To let Jordan Mason look like Christian McCaffrey on steroids, to have receivers wide open all night long, to have zero pass rush. And I know, you tell me if I'm wrong here, because I'm just angry football fan. So tell me.
Okay.
Because you could easily swap me down. The Jets never blitz. And a part of why they never blitz is because they always get pressure with their top guys, with their front seven. They get it naturally. That's what they did last year. Well, I'm sorry. This ain't last year. John Franklin Myers ain't here. Bryce Huff ain't here. And until some miracle happens, more on it later, Hassan Reddick isn't here. So maybe Jeff Ulbrich and Robert Saleh need to blitz a little bit more because Brock Purdy could have baked a freaking cake in the pocket last night.
He didn't need to bake a cake because they handed the ball off 38 times.
That's true.
They threw it 29 times or whatever it was. You're right about putting pressure, but it's hard to put pressure on a team that has Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, these guys who, if you miss one tackle in the open field, it's maybe a touchdown. And so You have to be. It's the challenge of playing a team that's as well constructed. And again, I'm giving credit here. I know what you're saying about the Jets, but I'm giving credit here to the San Francisco 49ers. When you have a team that's constructed that well, that has a game plan that's that specific and is looking for you to come after them, it would have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I get what you're saying, but if you start putting pressure on those guys and you miss a tackle, then this game is 50-20. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I can always tell when a defense is struggling, especially when you see the final box score. And when the two, not just the top, the two top tacklers are secondary players.
That's a problem.
Then something's gone wrong.
That's a damn problem.
Something's gone seriously wrong. And Tony Adams is the leading tackle. He had 12 tackles.
Yeah.
12 tackles.
Well,
DJ
Reed
had 9. CJ Mosley's not there until third on the list. And so when your secondary is making all the tackles, then things are gone awry up front. And so you're right about the missing pieces from that they lost in free agency or via trade, because they haven't replaced them with the same kind of effectiveness that you would need for a team that's going to claim to be a top defense in the NFL.
And that's where the disappointment rings in. It is one game. I know that. I think we all know that. It's 1 week of a long NFL season, and we could cite so many examples. The Giants in 07 started 0-2, gave up a million points. Tom Brady's first game in Tampa, the Buccaneers got blown out. They went on and won the Super Bowl. I'm not telling you it's over, or they're dead, or I've lost faith. I'm telling you I'm frustrated. And it's frustrating when the strength of this team, which was the defense a year ago, the reason that they were hanging in games last year was their defense. Robert Saleh arrogantly, and I defended it because I love that arrogance, talked about what they did to good quarterbacks all year last year and how impressive this defense was. To come out in the first week of the year and be that bad and be that putrid, it's a little disheartening. And I'll tell you something that's straight from my stomach. It's a weird, screwed up stomach that I have. Last year, on a Tuesday morning / Tuesday afternoon, I came to work after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. But the Jets won this incredible game. The defense played so well against Josh Allen, and they won this remarkable game in overtime on a walk-off punt return from Xavier Gibson. By the way, Xavier, are you still playing? Because even though he played yesterday, he was barely noticeable. And I remember walking in that day, and I had a very mixed feeling. On one side, I was devastated by Aaron Rodgers tearing his Achilles and being out for the year. But on the other side, I was so happy that I watched my football team win. And I walk in a year later, and it's that similar mixed feeling. I am enthused that Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback.
Yeah, and he looked really good for a drive.
Looked very good for a drive.
He looked great on the dead play, on the free play.
Absolutely.
For the touchdown. I mean, I didn't realize it, but they said it on the broadcast. And it makes obvious sense because he manipulates teams into giving him free plays. He leads the maybe NFL in history.
Yeah,
and free play touchdowns.
He's an automatic on those free plays. 100%.
We saw
all the things we dreamt of with Aaron Rodgers, and that part of me excites me. That's the part where I'm like, hey, I'm looking forward to week 2, week 3, week 4. Let's go. But then that mixed feeling is, I'm pissed.
Yeah. Because now you think you're going to have to outscore every team that you play.
Well, I've got questions about this defense, but more so, this was a chance to prove yourself on a national stage to the San Francisco 49ers on the world, and the defense came up as small as I ever remember them coming up small.
Right.
Like, they've had some mediocre performances, the Miami game last year, especially in the second half, but this was just such a putrid performance by the strength, the supposed strength of this team. And that's why I sit here a year later with that same mixed feeling. I'm excited about next week, but I'm pissed off about what I watched last night. And I don't think that makes me a negative Jet fan. That makes me somebody that's not happy that I watched 3 hours of crap last night.
Right.
Same old Jets.
No, it's not the same old Jets. It's that's an easy drop to play, Tommy, but it is not the same old Jets. This team is better than that. Offensively, they have what feels like an identity, which is Aaron Rodgers, obviously manipulating and doing the things that Aaron Rodgers does. But they played a tough opponent on the road, all the way across the country on Monday Night Football. It's a massive stage. It's loud as hell. It's intense. And it felt like that. I don't know why Alan Lazard would have been affected by that, but how else do you chalk him up dropping maybe one of the easiest perfectly thrown balls I've ever seen? Breece Hall, who was fantastic for his first year until he got hurt, and the second year, obviously, he was great as well. Just fumbling, not being aware of Fred Warner, who does this every single time he tackles somebody.
The peanut Tillman.
Exactly.
Punch.
Even the long play that he had down the left sideline, he came in and did the same thing.
Yeah.
Like he always does this. And so maybe it's the pressure. Maybe it's the expectation. But to me, this is a game you forget because the San Francisco 49ers are one of the best teams in football. And they have been. And they're going to continue to be.
True.
Because even without Christian McCaffrey, the greatest runner we've seen in this generation, apparently, who didn't play. And by the way, I told you that was going to happen. When you got a calf and then it becomes calf Achilles, you're not playing. They're not risking $19 million a year player on a calf injury. When even without him, it's scheme. So much of this is, yes, the talent, the players. Kyle Shanahan is masterful. And you saw it in how the run game executed, how they used multiple personnel situations, multiple tight ends, how they had 13 personnel in there one time, if you want to count Juszczyk as a tight end instead of a fullback. You just don't know what to do because you've never seen it, right? You don't see these things. Now, Robert Saleh.
You know who should know what to do?
I know. I was going to say.
Maybe I can see you getting there, get there, because that's the thing on my
Robert
mind.
Robert Saleh maybe should have known
yes.
that this was going to come, but like, there were so many different ways that they ran the football. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, I saw this in the first quarter. Oh, yeah, we saw this again. This is the third time they're running it. It felt like every run was different, from tosses to pulls to gap schemes to duo blocks. Like, they did so much, and they executed it perfectly.
Jet fans, is your feeling on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, no big deal. We got Aaron Rodgers in a great offense, and we have a soft schedule, and don't overreact. No harm, no foul. I'm good. The Mets won last night. The Yankees won last night. Or do you have some anger in you? Is there a little concern? Is there a little pissed offness on this Tuesday? We'll hear from the Jet fan early on, 888-808-1019. We'll hear from King Jet fan Joe B. He'll join us in a weekly spot coming up at 4 o'clock.
Thank God for drugs.
No, thank God for the Mets.
Yeah, he will say that, though. Thank God for the Mets. And we will touch on the Mets and Yankees a little bit later on. We'll come back. We'll get to your calls. And we'll also try to solve a mystery that still hasn't been solved all these hours later. Why did Sauce Gardner not play for 9 consecutive plays? We tried to get to the bottom of it coming up, 888-808-1019. So the New York Jets are 0-1. They're in last place in the AFC East. Everybody else is in first place because the New England Patriots won on Sunday. The Buffalo Bills won on Sunday. And the stinking Miami Dolphins won on Sunday. But I'm not overreacting. That was just me stating a fact. That was just me telling you the standings in the AFC East. I would also give you another fact. Again, not panicking, just a fact. The New York Jets allowed the San Francisco 49ers to score points on 8 consecutive drives.
We all suck.
That had not happened in NFL history in the last 35 years.
Ever?
I heard that. And I said,
Ever?
Since it's been registered, since they started counting that such. So the last 35, 40 years or so. And I heard that, and I said, there's no way that's possible. So when I have free time, like I'm up in the middle of the night, I'm going to start fact-checking that.
Right.
But I heard it, so let's just go with it. So the New York Jets, last night against the San Francisco 49ers, missing Christian McCaffrey.
Wow.
Starting Jordan Mason. Starting the great Brock Purdy. With Brandon Ayuk having missed so much of training camp. put up 401 yards on the Jet defense, scored on 8 consecutive possessions, converted on about 50% of their third down opportunities, and whipped the New York Jets' ass. That's just the facts. Now, am I mad about it? Of course I am. I don't know what kind of Jet fan you'd be to not be, like, annoyed by that whole feeling. Like, this morning I wake up, I take my kids to the bus stop, and I had to hear some comments from Giant fans.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not blaming all Giant fans. I'm not blaming Sean. He hasn't said anything to me. I'm not blaming you, Teak, as a Giant legend. But that's a part of it. Like, I don't want to hear it. And this year is supposed to be different. I don't want to say was supposed to be different because it's only 1 week. It's supposed to be different. And so waking up after a ass-whooping that's on national TV, not a good feeling. And that is not an overreaction. That's a reality. Now, let's get to Sauce Gardner, who I also love dearly, Tiki.
Yes.
He was not on the field late first half for, I counted, 9 consecutive plays. ESPN, who should be embarrassed because their coverage stinks half the time. And they should just cancel the Manning cast. I'm sick of watching those guys.
You didn't like a cartoon groundhog last night?
The cartoon groundhog was actually the best thing ESPN did last night. It's the best thing they did. But when you have the head coach, and I usually don't even care about sideline interviewers. You know, for the most part, they're in a really tricky spot. Like, yeah. I don't hate them. It's just more like...
Well, yeah, they're going to ask a question, and you know that the coach is not going to answer.
Right.
So, for instance, in our game against the Colts,
yeah.
The Colts this weekend, the field was terrible. Everybody was sliding. A.J. Ross asked Shane Steichen, what about the field? Are guys going to change the field? Oh, the field's not a problem.
I'm like, what do you mean the field's not a problem?
Right. I was like, A.J., that's a great question. He just ignored you because he doesn't want to answer a question.
So what A.J. did, and I didn't see that. I'm glad you brought this up because this will prove my case even stronger. A.J. Ross asked a question related to the game. How is Robert Saleh not asked? Where is Sauce Gardner? Why was he not out there? They tell us it's not an injury. We wait till after the game. I'm the sucker who's watching the post-game press conference because I need to see what my head coach is going to tell me.
I quit it about midway through the fourth.
You're a great man. Robert Saleh's second question, because the New York media actually knows how to ask questions. I forget who asked it, but whoever did, good job. Hey, coach, what the hell happened to Sauce Gardner? And he gives us this, we just needed to let him catch his breath. What? Needed to catch his breath.
Yeah, that's clearly
not true.
What,
did he run a marathon?
That's clearly not true. Because he hurt his shoulder. You could tell what it was. And when I hear things like that, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. It makes me always think, man, maybe did he have a concussion? And they're just trying to like let him get through it. But then I go back and watch it, and he didn't hit his head at all. It was just when he went to tackle Deebo Samuel on that messed up double reverse, which should have lost like 12 yards. Instead, it only lost 1, I think, or 8, whatever it was. He tackled him with his arm away from his body. So it wasn't like a form tackle where you're grasping in. He reached out to grab, and his Debo's like a running back, right? His legs
are thick. He basically was last night.
He did play running back carry. I think he got like 4 or 5 carries.
Yeah.
But his arms were in a compromised, stretched out position. And when you get hit like that, especially when you're not like muscle bound around your shoulders, you end up slightly subluxing your shoulder. Like, it separates real quick and goes back in. And so when I first saw it, when I went back and watched it, that's what I thought.
So why didn't they say that if he was hurt? Why would you make up a story then about him being winded? Because I think, I love Sauce, it makes him look bad.
I'll tell you why, and I think this is new to the NFL in the last, I don't know how many years, but I've had this conversation with Ronnie Barnes, who is the VP of training with the New York Giants. It used to be, if you got hurt, in whatever capacity, it's maybe they would ask you, but unless you complained about it, unless you went and said, hey, this is my ankle is bothering me. Oh, my wrist is bothering me. My shoulder's bothering me. They kind of would just let you play. I mean, this happened to me all the time. I got a thigh bruise. I broke a thumb. I did all this stuff. I just played. Nowadays, if you have something that's serious, they can't not treat you. You know what I mean? Because of player safety issues. And so if Sauce Gardner had a sublex shoulder, came out of joint, and it's separated in some capacity, they have to go treat him.
So then but I get that, and I totally understand it. I looked at the play again, too, and you're probably right. It looked like there was a shoulder injury. Why would the Jets not say that? What is the benefit to playing this game
competitive advantage next week?
What's
competitive advantage in the middle of the game? Hey, guess what? Sauce has a a shoulder injury. Let's run all of our runs towards wherever he is. Now, he moved a little bit in this game. So you could imagine, and I would think Kyle Shanahan is innovative enough and smart enough, and his system is tailored so that if he wanted to go attack a specific person, he could do it.
Right.
And so the reason I think they left him out is because he was compromised. The reason that they kept saying there's nothing wrong with him is because they don't want Kyle Shanahan to say, let's run at Sauce. Let's get bodies on Sauce.
Why don't we
because
see...
Because it gives us an advantage
now
because that player is compromised.
Now
that player is injured.
I get that answer. Makes a lot of sense. Why don't we see that more often then? That's what made last night so rare. Like, we never see that. Usually it's CJ Mosley got hurt. He had an injury and then he came back. So that's what made it so peculiar, because in my brain, there were three things that could have happened. Number one, after we found out from Robert Saleh, he was right. He's winded, which also doesn't look good for Sauce Gardner. He's winded. You're an NFL player. The hell were you doing? You're winded to have to not play nine plays in a row? You're not playing in Denver. How are you winded? That's number one. Number two is what you said. It's really an injury they're hiding. And then the third thing, which I was trying to wrap my head around, was, is he being benched? Was there something Sauce Gardner did that maybe I didn't see, maybe you saw, that would cause Robert Saleh, Mr. Nice Guy, to actually bench his best defensive player? Because other than that, it was a weird mystery why their best defensive player wasn't out there, by the way, as the Niners were just gouging them for yards.
Right, but it's not like Sauce is going to... He is a willing tackler, but he's not... Peanut Tillman.
He's not Darrell. Darrell used to tackle a lot.
Or Rondae Barber, who had 100 tackle seasons.
That's true. I should have used him as an example.
Exactly. Both in the Hall of Fame last year at the same time.
That's right.
But I don't think you were missing a force corner, meaning like a force to run corner by Sauce not playing. In fact, you're probably better off with DJ Reed in that role because he's stouter.
But you're still better off with him being on the field.
Oh, I agree. DJ got torched a couple times.
Yes, he did.
Right? Just beat, especially in some of these man coverage looks that they had. But you just don't want Sauce to take another hit on his shoulder and maybe really compromise himself.
So just officially, because I want to get this straight, you believe the Jets were just BSing and he was really hurt with a shoulder issue?
I think he had a shoulder issue. And again, you never speculate. And again, in game, you definitely don't speculate. But you have no idea. You have to trust what they tell you, because speculating is irresponsible. Now, we can, because we're a sports talk.
Well,
radio.
Yeah, and it's also after the fact. I want to know what happened.
But in the game, you can't do that. Yeah. It's a no-no in game.
Doesn't this go back to the offseason, though, and Saleh with the Rodgers inexcused absence thing when it was discussed
Shut
before?
Shut up.
No,
I'm not in the mood for you today.
No,
what the hell does that have to do with anything? With anything that happened last night. Nothing about last night has a damn thing to do with Aaron Rodgers in Egypt. Nothing. You want to bring up Zach Wilson apple picking? Did that cause last night, too?
All right, buddy. Calm down.
I'm annoyed now. What the hell is that?
Well,
what's
the
point of that?
Bet the Jets. Root for
I don't give a rat's ass what you pick.
The point of it, Evan, the head coach or whoever's in charge of the Jets for some reason keeps making these stumbling moments causing unnecessary controversy. There's no reason today after this loss we should be worried about why did they hide some kind of injury. Just say, yeah, he's banged up, questionable return, he comes out in nine plays. It goes back to the Rodgers thing. I don't know if it's Saleh or Jets PR, they can't help themselves with these moments causing unnecessary nonsense.
I say this with love. I so hate you.
That's not a sane, salient point?
You also look like a klutz today wearing that Alex Verdugo shirt.
What a homer last night. What a homer.
Yes. We'll get to the Yankees a little bit later on. 888-808-1019. Let's kick it off with Joe and Brick. What's up, Joe?
What's up, boys? How are we doing on this Monday?
Well, it's good. Well, feels like a Monday.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
It feels like a Monday.
It feels like a Monday to me, too, right? Listen.
Yeah.
The Jets, no matter what their record is, at one point of this season, they will falter because of Robert Saleh. Whether it's discipline, whether it's schematics. Tiki, you're so right. They had motions. It was beautiful.
Right.
Poetry in motion. Double team. Zone blocking.
I almost felt bad, like, looking at it, admiring how beautiful it was. Two tight ends, three tight end sets.
Oh.
Right.
But you mean to tell me that of all camp, especially towards the end, there was no preparation for second level on the defensive scheme for the Jets, where to make these tackles? The guy was running 6 yards, a clip.
Well, I mean, there was a couple of these, and this is just guessing poorly. they do these line stunts, so they're slanting the line one way. And that's great if they're running a zone, an outside zone play that way. But when they're running right up the middle, you're essentially running out. You're creating a massive void in the middle of the field. And so, like, you almost have to guess with Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator what he's trying to do. And you do these stunts just to kind of try to disrupt them. But sometimes it ends up being the exact wrong thing to do. And that happened a couple of times last night.
18-34. That's Robert Saleh's record as a head coach. So when Joe and Brick and any other Jet fan brings up, I don't trust this head coach, you have every reason to have that opinion. Because he hasn't done anything yet to earn our
trust. Your record is what it is.
Your record is what it is. It's 18-34, and he's got a lot to prove.
Yeah.
And what was an opportunity last night, doesn't mean it's dead, doesn't mean it's over, doesn't mean they should fire him after 1 week, but last night was an opportunity. Because Troy Aikman said something very early in the game. Actually, Joe Buck said it for Troy Aikman. Joe Buck said, Troy Aikman loves him some Kyle Shanahan. Best play caller in the NFL. And Joe Buck's like, all right, Troy Aikman's like, yes, he's the best play caller in the NFL, blah, 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 blah. And he's a tremendous play caller. I'm not mocking that. He probably is the best play caller in the NFL. Mm-hmm.
His tree is getting very long.
No doubt about it. It's a long-ass tree. This was an opportunity last night with an undermanned defensive line, but with a lot of talent on this defense, for Robert Saleh to show the kind of defensive head coach he can be and put together the game plan and the performance that makes you say, you know what? Offense is fine. Nate Hackett and Aaron Rodgers have that.
Yeah.
What a defensive performance. And instead, we got to hear about how Kyle Shanahan out-schemed Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah.
And that's a tough pill to swallow. And that's why, to Joe and Brick and everybody else, 18-34 is his record. He's got to prove that what Joe predicted isn't going to be the case. Let's go to Matt on Long Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. As a massive Jets fan, I'm definitely alarmed after the showing yesterday. We had two real concerns going into the season outside of health, one being Saleh, the other being the D-line depth.
Mm-hmm.
Both were absolutely exposed yesterday, and I just don't see how it's going to get better. Maybe you can talk me off this clip. Let me know your thoughts.
It can get better. For two ways it can get better. And then Tiki will give you the real answer. Right. I'm going to give you the fan answer. Way number one, you're going to face crappier teams.
That's fact.
That's fact, right?
That's fact. You're just going to have teams that don't have elite offensive line.
Yes, you're not going to face Trent Williams.
Right.
So one way that Jalen Holmes is going to get better is to not be matched up with Trent Williams.
Yes.
That's number one. And number two, and we will get into this in further detail a little bit later on, but I want to answer the man's question. They can get better by Hassan Reddick walking through that
they
door.
They can, but it's not going to help them stop the run. That's not Hassan Reddick's M.O.
But it's going to help get to the quarterback, which they didn't do last night, the rare opportunities they had.
Of course. It will help you get to the quarterback, but it's not helping you stop the biggest issue from last night, and that was the run game. And a lot of it was just getting mauled at the point of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's want to, but part of that becomes we're on the field for however 70-something plays. I think the Jets ran 48 or whatever it was. 70-something plays, and we're just gashed. And the offense is three and out.
Okay, so
that gets exhausting.
Here's why I don't like that excuse. Okay, eventually you are right. There is a point in this game in which you are right. The defense was completely gassed.
Mm-hmm.
But when the defense did an outstanding job forcing San Francisco on a three and out after the Breece Hall fumble and held him to three, the Jets then put together a nice, long, sustainable drive. That's what we like to call the Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
12 plays, 70 yards.
Oh.
Took 7 minutes.
Converted on three third downs to Garrett Wilson. Like, mm-hmm. It was a euphoric drive. And then the defense responded by allowing the Niners to convert on a third down and convert on a long field goal.
Yep.
Then they did have a three and out. Okay.
Yep.
They did. They actually had a three and out.
Right.
And then they allowed a long ass San Francisco drive.
Right.
Then drive was because the defense was tired. Why was the defense tired?
No.
The offense was on the field not too much longer or earlier with a sustained touchdown drive.
No.
So the defense started to struggle long before it started to wear down.
Or, you know, the 49ers are just good.
Yeah, but the Jets are supposed to be good.
Yeah, but are they?
Well,
Not if you can't stop the run.
Well, are they good?
So that next drive you're talking about was 12 plays, 67 yards, and it happened in a hurry.
Yes, it did.
It wasn't.
They
like,
didn't even have a third down.
Exactly. San Francisco, yeah. It's not like it was a slow grinding. We're getting a first down. We're getting a second down. We're just going to sneak in a third down. Was there a third down?
No, there was not.
No, there was not a third down.
No, but that's my point, Tiki, because it was right after, like, that drive where they marched down the field before they were tired.
Right.
That's my only point.
But it wasn't that they weren't tired then. They were just... So
yes!
They got tired at the end.
Yes.
And then they were just worse than the 49ers when it mattered.
Yeah, they got beat.
And then you know what happened after that drive?
They were done.
Three and out.
And they were done.
Three and out.
And then they let the Niners with 5 minutes to go in the half. This is when, you know, there's a moment in a game in which you're like, oh my God, the handwriting's on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about being super negative. Like, there's a play in a game. Giant fans had this on Sunday. You had a couple.
Yeah.
Some may choose settling for a field goal after the big turnover early in the game. That could have been your moment. My moment was after the Jets go 3 and out down 13-7. To allow the Niners to use the entire clock at the end of the first half when they're getting the ball to start the second half.
Right.
But I'll tell you another one. There's another moment that really killed me. When Aaron Rodgers put together the drive that got capped off on the Alan Lazard touchdown, that was the Aaron Rodgers taking advantage of the offsides free play.
Yep.
It was 26-13. They went for two. No problem with that. Even when they failed, there was about a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. They're down 26-13. I texted a buddy of mine. This is how, like, screwed up Aaron Rodgers has made me. I texted my friend. I said, I can't believe I'm telling you this. If this defense, and I use some inappropriate words, if this loser defense, we'll call it that.
Mm-hmm.
If this loser defense can find its you-know-whats and get off the field, we are going to win this game. That's what Aaron Rodgers did to me on that drive.
Yep.
He made me think if this defense could show up and wake up, the Jets actually have the quarterback in the offense to come back from what at first was 26-7 down. And remember what happened? Remember what happened? Brock Purdy did a fake toss, right? And then he baked the cake behind that line. I don't know if you guys saw that. He baked the cake. Then he took his phone out, tweeted something, and found a wide open Juwan Jennings. He had a minute and a half behind that offensive line. And from then on, it was straight downhill.
Right.
And San Francisco put together a long-ass drive.
11
they
plays.
Kicked the field goal. They made it a 16-point game.
Seven
good
minutes.
Night. See you later.
But the same old Jets.
At that point, it was still a two-possession game.
It was.
It was still a two-possession game. And then the Jets just couldn't get it done.
Well, here's what happened.
Turnover on downs,
the
and
officials,
the game's over.
The officials screwed the Jets on the Garrett Wilson pass that was then ruled incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and this is going to be my one knock on the offense. You ready?
Go ahead.
Besides Breece Hall's fumble, like the obvious stuff. You have a third and one and then a fourth and one, right? So you got two short yardage plays. You have this young kid you just drafted by the name of Braylon Allen. He's a big man.
Yeah.
You're laughing, right?
I am.
Are you laughing because I'm so right?
You're all right.
Oh, I love this. I'm right. I'm like a football czar over here. Where the hell is Braylon Allen? Instead, you're handing it off to Breece Hall, who the Niners had been stopping all night long. Let's see the kid on a third and one, even a fourth and one.
Yeah, this is it's just a trust thing.
They don't trust him yet.
Well, it's just
fair enough.
It's yeah. I mean, it's a critical moment in the game. You gotta make a play. I mean, this is why, and I'm not knocking Aaron Rodgers' age, but I am. This is why it gets frustrating with Aaron Rodgers.
Why are you knocking Aaron Rodgers? He didn't do anything wrong.
I'm not. I'm just saying, you're so limited on third and fourth and one short situations when your quarterback's not mobile.
Because you're not gonna. Yeah, no, I get you.
You can't move the pocket. So in that situation, I'm just looking at the play. 49ers have eight guys around the line of scrimmage. All you got to do is move the pocket a little bit, just a little bit, and you're going to get some sort of advantage. And they can't do it, at least not yet.
Not yet. Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike? Mike.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good, man. Yeah, what's up?
You said it, 18-34. I don't know what the Jets are doing. The time is, the clock is ticking, right? I mean, at best, if we're optimists, we got Aaron for another year after this one. How are they going to close the gap with a coach that's like President Nixon trying to confiscate cell phones last year because he was worried about a leak? Yeah, an unnamed coach, and I'm sure there were reasons, but you had an unnamed coach, say, Hackett, for example. You never seen a coach not watch practice footage the way he did last camp, last year's camp. That comes from the top. So my question is, when is Woody going to pull the plug on Saleh?
Mike, that's a crazy question to ask in week one. They're not pulling the plug now. If your point is, hey, I want to refight the fight from January, that they should have fired him in January. Mm-hmm. Look, we can always do that on Sports Talk Radio. Sean does it on Twitter all the time about drafting Saquon Barkley. We refight the fight from 6 years ago. By the way, that was not me mocking you. That's an option we have. We can refight old fights. But to me, we can do it. It's a waste of time. Robert Saleh is the head coach. You're not firing him 1 week into the season. He's the head coach. Can they win with Robert Saleh? Here's how I'll answer that, Tiki, and I think this is an accurate answer. He hasn't proven that he can, but we have no other choice but to find out.
Yeah.
Is that not a fair answer on that?
Yeah. It's exactly the right answer. And we'll know pretty soon. When they play an inferior opponent, we will know whether or not Robert Saleh is the right coach.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. They better beat these inferior opponents. I don't want to start looking ahead. I know everybody's already starting to do that. That's how you spin a bad loss. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, week two's easy, week three's easy, week four's easy. You know what? Nothing's easy in the NFL. That's number one. And number two, I'm not ready to start thinking about Tennessee and New England. Yeah, they better beat them. No question. The Jets have one of the softest schedules in the NFL. I totally get that. I knew that going in.
Right.
But last night featured some discouraging moments, including the fact that their defensive line featured the rotating names of Jalen Holmes and Michael Clemens, who, by the way, stinks, Tack McKinley, Will McDonald, who for now feels like he's bust in training. He's not a bust yet, but he's on his way, and Braden McGregor, who's probably a practice squad player. Like, that was their defensive line. That is a downgrade from a year ago. And that's why one other thing I don't want to hear. I'm not going to name any names on who's already said this. You are no longer allowed to mock the Jets and their fans by citing the 85 Bears. Over. Can't do it. Can't do it. You know why it's not allowed?
Why?
Because that was last year.
Yeah.
That was his dumb comment made a year ago. Right. He's a different team. You don't get to make that comment anymore.
Evan.
What?
Don't make me be the hater because I am trying to be hard in support of the Jets. All Jets fans talked about, you're right, the 85 Bears was a comment last year, was the talent. In fact, many said second most talented roster in football. Don't tell me that talent just means Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. That was about the defense. And yes, they've lost a ton.
Well, their defensive line has gone backwards. We have not talked about that.
No, yeah. But I think not enough people have. And I think people were so reliant on what they saw last year. The truth is, you got Quincy, you got Quinnen, you got Sauce Gardner, you got Mosley.
What does that have to do with my comment that your guys are, and I'm talking to you, I guess, or maybe your dad who's
my
listening
dad.
Right now.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear taunts about the 85 Bears anymore. It's over.
Okay.
That's done. That was last year.
So then we're admitting that the Jets have a couple very high-end players, but a lot of to-be-determined talent
on
that defensive.
You're using a lot of words to not answer my point.
Nobody has said it. Okay.
No more about 85 Bears.
Okay, so then we're all in agreement then. The Jets are not as talented as we thought if we're not talking about the 85 Bears.
We're talking about this team right now. We're talking about last year.
I was told top five defense coming into the NFL.
Well, they still may have a top five defense.
Okay.
Just so you guys know and for context.
Yes.
The Cleveland Browns were supposed to be the number one defense in NFL.
They got lit up.
They gave up 33 points.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's
1 week.
It's 1 week against the San Francisco 49ers. I'm not agreeing with Sean that they're not a top five defense. I'm saying I don't want to hear that jab be used because the comment was made a year ago.
All right.
Like, when's the statute of limitation on
dude,
that?
All I'm saying is Jet fans cannot pound the how much talent we have take.
Why
now,
are you changing what I'm saying?
Because that goes to why people refer to them as the 85 Bears.
So time out real quick.
Thank you.
Everybody wanted to talk. Jet fans are very lazy when they evaluate their team. So they kept saying, we have a great talent, so much talent, blah, 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 so much talent. First of all, Tyron Smith is 37 years old, whatever he is. Their wide receiver room is Garrett Wilson. That's it.
Mike Williams was barely on the field.
I'm saying it's Garrett Wilson.
For now, that's the only established one because Williams is still on a pitch count, and I'd like to see Malachi Corley, but he barely played yesterday.
He is not going to be a star for this team. I'm just telling you.
But he doesn't need to be.
If you're talking about how much talent this team has, and that's all Jet fans wanted to talk about, you better be a star. I'm not saying like a superstar, but you better be a star. Mike Williams is not going to be a superstar
this year. I agree
with that. Okay. Xavier Gibson is not going to be a superstar this year. Alan Lazard is not going to be a superstar this year. It is Garrett Wilson. Your running back room is Breece Hall. He could be a superstar. Your offensive line is an old Tyron Smith. I don't know what John Simpson looks like. AVT looked terrible yesterday. Terrible. On that third and one that you're talking about, beat immediately across his face. So that the fullback or tight end, whoever it was, now has to block his guy. The scraping linebacker hits Breece Hall in the backfield. It's just like he was bad. He was bad in pass protection, gave up four or so pressures yesterday. And Morgan Moses is, I can't really evaluate him. So where is the stud best offense in football? It's just not there. You have a great quarterback, and we saw it for a drive, but that's not making you one of the best rosters in football. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. Jermaine Johnson hasn't proven it yet. Kinlaw was terrible. Quinnen Williams, he's obviously a stud, but what else? What can you do when you're just one guy in the middle? Clemens, he looked bad. Quincy Williams, I really like. C.J. Mosley, he was banged up. Sauce Gardner got hurt. And then your second, rest of your secondary was sketchy.
Hold on. You just described the Jets as they're like a 5-win team.
I'm not.
You just broke them apart.
I'm
like
not.
These suck.
I'm just telling you that people who were lazy wanted to say this roster looks great. Maybe because you know every name. It sounds great, but it's not that. You got to prove it to be great.
100%. They've got to prove it.
You got to do it consistently to be called a great top of the world roster. You know who has a great top of the world roster? The San Francisco 49ers.
I agree.
Every player, every one of those dudes, they're dogs.
But you know what? They're sort of irrelevant in the whole grand scheme of things. What you just did to the Jets, do it to the Buffalo Bills.
I 100%.
Is that not fair?
100% I can do it to the Buffalo Bills.
And that's all that matters. Like, the Niners were a litmus test, but until we are lucky enough, and damn right, I mean lucky enough, to be sitting here in February talking about a fictitious event I can only pray the Jets would be involved in, the Niner talent versus the Jet talent, sort of irrelevant from here on out.
Of course
you're right that the Jets have flaws.
But people wanted to put them in the same category.
No, and that was never fair.
A lot of hosts on this station wanted to do that. But I'm just telling you, this is what I heard. And now, if you don't watch it and you don't know, the names sound good. They really do. You got two first-rounders playing DN for you. You still got to prove it.
Well, yeah. You could be a first-rounder. Will McDonald's a first-rounder. Will McDonald is approaching. He's not there yet. I want to be fresh. I want to be calm. He's approaching bus territory. But I do think that when you have, here's where I would disagree the way you framed it, though it was very well done. Like, you should be working for either of the candidates tonight, because that was framed very well to make your point. When you have a
I would abstain respectfully.
When you have a number one receiver, and I don't mean a number one receiver, but like a number one receiver.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. Okay.
Great.
And you have.
You know, I didn't like his sleeves yesterday.
Don't nitpick, my man.
I was like, what's going on with this style?
And you have a running back who did not have a great day yesterday. All right. And there's other things Breece Hall did, which we'll get into later. I didn't like something he said after the game that bothered me. But Breece Hall is a top 3, 4, 5 running back in the NFL.
Agreed. He's proven it.
Thank you. When you have that kind of top-level talent, no, you're not going to have Pro Bowlers everywhere else. Mike Williams, to your point, doesn't need to be a star. Malachi doesn't need to be a star. Xavier Gibbs, they need to be good. They need to be more relevant than they were yesterday. Absolutely. Braylon Allen doesn't need to be a star. But I think the talent on this offense is a lot better than the way you laid it out. Because you laid it out, I think it was a little unfair.
Was it?
As a little bit, not overly, because you weren't like, you weren't lying. It was just.
Tyron Smith was good yesterday?
I thought the offensive line was average yesterday.
Pittman was good yesterday?
Well, first of all, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't rate each guy individually.
Okay.
I'd be lying to you. I'm not going to do that because I'd be wrong.
I can. When I see him pushed off the ball and.
But did you think overall the line was bad last night?
Yes.
Really?
100%.
Because they couldn't open up holes for Breece, you mean?
Well, no, you just go back
and
watch.
Protecting Rodgers.
They're just getting beat. No, there was not the pressure. There was only 5 pressures on Aaron Rodgers.
That's what I'm saying.
And only one sack.
I guess that's where my brain told me it wasn't that bad.
But you just go watch the run game.
Well, that was the problem.
They're beat at the line of scrimmage. Now, maybe that's just because the San Francisco 49ers have a great defensive front. And they're just good players all over. But the Jets didn't look great yesterday, offensive line-wise. And that's what people wanted to talk about. And I wanted to talk about it.
Sure.
I thought AVT would be great. Now, he missed all of last season.
That's the one,
so
like, saving
of it
grace
is just
with
like, him. It's kind of like Daniel Jones. I mean, can I really evaluate you off of one game?
Now I feel even more sick.
No, it's not even that. Forget what their ceilings are. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about their level of whatever their individual ceilings are. Neither one of them hit it.
Right.
They weren't even close to it.
And you know what? You said something earlier. I said something. You said something about, we had a caller saying, how can this Jet defensive line get better when you look at all the talent? And I said, well, you're going to play worse teams. Well, that's how the offensive line can improve too.
Right.
Because when you're playing the Tennessee Titans,
right,
instead of the San Francisco 49ers, those performances that didn't open up any holes for Breece Hall, and you described it, that should be a lot better against an inferior team. And it also should be better with the more experience of playing together.
I agree. But, again, it felt like a preseason game.
Yeah, well.
Just like the Giants.
I'll tell you where it didn't feel like a preseason game. The pit in my stomach when I tried to go to bed.
And hold on one second there, Sunshine. I'm talking to you, handsome. So you don't want anybody trolling the Jets for the 85 Bear defense, right? You don't want anybody saying that?
Yeah, I think it's over now. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So coming up later in the show, we'll do Posted and Toasted, where Evan will dig up old tweets from coworkers, and he will make fun of them for having bad takes. Oh, by the way, you could get your Jalen Brunson t-shirt that Evan has mass-produced from something I said four
that's
or five years ago. No, you
different.
Can't have it both ways,
that's
handsome.
Different.
You can't. I don't care if they
you
change the personality. Like, it was an idiotic thing to say.
You know what that would be like, though? I mean, let me give it in more layman's terms. And yes, Posted and Toasted is a half hour away. We all look forward to it every Tuesday. The difference is if Keith Hernandez said something about the Mets in 1987.
Okay.
And a Yankee fan wanted to make fun of the current Mets on something Keith Hernandez said 30 years ago.
Okay.
That would be the comparison. Like, it has nothing to do with this team. DJ Reed's comment was a year ago about that defense. Bryce Huff was in that room last year. He's not in the room this year. John Franklin Myers was in that room last year. He's not in the room this year. It doesn't apply. Like, I get it. Because it was a bad comment. It turned out to be.
Yeah.
Because it was used against the Jets all the time.
Right.
But I don't think those comments get to carry over into the following year. It expires, man.
But I would
just
agree.
Like your bitten routine about the Mets in October. Next year, you got to freshen it up.
So you just
like
got,
you've already done with the Knicks for this season.
You just got to wait till Jalen Brunson's not a Knick anymore. And then that thing will go
then
away.
Then it goes away.
But Tiki was kind of alluding to it that the Jets perhaps are just a tad bit overrated. So kind of.
Well, that's completely different. Like, making the point that they're overrated is fine. Tiki actually did that. He didn't have to resort to a comment made last August by DJ Reed.
Well, because he's highbrow. We're lowbrow back here.
Well, we know you're lowbrow. Both of you. You both make me sick today. I don't like to look at either of you. A loogie I'm okay with because we're Met fans, and I'm very happy about last night.
As even you
though,
should be.
Even though Edwin Diaz came about 3.5 feet from ripping my soul out. We'll get into some baseball a little bit later on. Joe B will join us coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll get back to your calls next at 888-808-1019. And I mentioned Breece Hall. Breece Hall didn't have a great game on the field. He made a comment after the game that may raise some eyebrows. We'll take a listen to it coming up. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
Hey, guys. Have you heard of Collars & Co.? Mark Cuban just invested $1 million in this company on Shark Tank. They make the original dress collar polo. It's a super soft four-way stretch polo, but the top has a firm dress collar on it, so it gives you that dress shirt look, but with an extremely comfortable polo feel. They look sharp by themselves and amazing with a sweater and a blazer. They also have amazing long-sleeve dress shirts, stretch chinos, and luxe quarter zips. So whether you're back to the office or just looking to elevate your game a little bit, you gotta go check them out. Collarsandco.com. Use code TIKI for 15% off your first order at collarsandco.com.
Odyssey's 11th annual We Can Survive returns to Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey on September 28th, 2024. Featuring performances by Justin Timberlake, Benson Boone, Khalid, New Kids on the Block, Tate McRae, and Isabel La Rosa. To buy tickets, visit Ticketmaster. And for more information, visit WeCanSurvive.com. As part of Odyssey's I'm Listening initiative, We Can Survive is a concert supporting mental health awareness, where a portion of proceeds will be donated to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
This Odyssey Sports Minute is brought to you by the Discover Boating Norwalk Boat Show. Buy tickets at BoatShowNorwalk.com.
The flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This is Jim Rome with an Odyssey Sports Minute. So we waited for what seemed like an eternity to finally see the Aaron Rodgers-led Jets play four quarters of competitive football. Come to find out, we're going to have to wait a little longer because Aaron did not even make it to the end of the game. Robert Saleh had to staple all those receipts together that he had been keeping so he could wave that white flag and send Tyrod Taylor in. I'm Jim Rome.
Wendy's breakfast burrito has an entire breakfast in every bite. Fresh cracked eggs, seasoned potatoes, American cheese sauce, and sausage or bacon. So the first bite is like fresh American cheese sauce. And the second bite is like fresh American cheese sauce. Bacon. And the third bite, you get the idea. The boss of breakfast burritos, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
You okay?
Sorry, I can't sleep with this cough.
Sounds like you need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with NyQuil VapoCool. It's NyQuil plus a rush of Vicks Vapors.
Whoa.
So you're ready to get some sleep? Thank you, NyQuil VapoCool.
NyQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing nighttime coughing, aching, fever, best sleep with a cold medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Football is back, and ESPN Bet is bringing fans exciting new features and promotions to elevate your game day. Get in on trending parlays in the all-new Parlay Lounge experience. Check out one-of-a-kind offers from your favorite ESPN personalities and boost your winnings with profit boosts all season long. The official sportsbook of ESPN has football fans covered. Download the ESPN Bet app today. Must be 21 plus. Offer not available in New York. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
There's new tropic bowls in paradise at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Enjoy our new Bahama Mama Bowl inspired by our fan-fave smoothie flavor, serving pineapple, strawberry, and coconut. Or dig into 32 grams of protein with our new peanut butter protein crunch bowl. It's tropic time.
9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com.